Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, my brothers, my sisters, we start off in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi, we thank Allah, we praise Him upon all conditions, and we always say that whether we mean it or not is a different issue. Many people say Alhamdulillah, but their lives are not led by Alhamdulillah. Many people say Alhamdulillah, but their lives are not led by Alhamdulillah. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah means, come on, you see, we don't even know what it means. La ilaha illallah. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah? All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Say that again and again in English, not in Arabic. You say it in Arabic all the time. Today, and just for now, say it in English. All praise is due to Allah. Think about what you are saying. What does it mean? Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Whether I'm going through a good time, a bad time, a tough time, whether I'm going through victory or failure, or whether I've lost or gained, everything we say, all praise is due to Allah. When things happen my way, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. When things do not happen my way, all praise is due to Allah. When things do not happen, when what I want doesn't come, doesn't happen, all praise is due to Allah. When what I want comes, all praise is due to Allah. Is that right? That's why we're called believers. We started in the name of Allah and we said all praise is due to Allah. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, for indeed he was the one whom Allah chose in order to carry the message such that it got to us. And what do we learn from that? Imagine when Allah chooses someone to use him to bring the message to you, and he is a messenger. Allah gave him so much of value that it is an insult to say his name without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or may peace be upon him, after saying that name. He says himself, anyone who hears my name does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are at a loss. They are at a loss. Why? Acknowledge the favor of Allah upon someone whom Allah has favored. It's part of your faith. And say Alhamdulillah. The companions, they were not prophets of Allah. They were companions. They were chosen on a different level. The one who became jealous of the prophet and started claiming, I'm a prophet, he became known as Musaylamah al-Kadhab. He became known as a liar. He was Musaylamah, a person who was known as a terrible liar. What was his crime? His crime was he didn't accept what Allah chose. My brothers, my sisters, I want to tell you, you are chosen by Allah for something. Understand what that thing is. Understand your value. Allah places every one of us on a niche, on a place, on a position. Each one of you is chosen in a unique way. You have something others do not have. But it's your own uniqueness. If you haven't figured it out yet, think about it. What do I have that others don't have? Wallahi, there is. Wallahi, there is. Allah's blessed you in many ways. Some of them, others won't have them. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were companions. They were companions indeed. But guess what? They knew their level and their status. When it was said Abu Bakr is the best, the others were not jealous of that. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do you love the most? That's a tough question. You know, when kids ask you, I've got quite a few kids. Maybe you might know how many. When children ask you, who do you love the most? What do you say? What do you say? It's a tough one. You say, I love all of you in your own unique ways. That's a nice political answer, right? Who do you love the most? It's a hard one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was not tough for him. He was straightforward. People were expecting him perhaps to say one of the names of whoever. He says, who did he say? What did he say? Who knows the answer? Who do you love the most? What did he say? Anyone?
Manila, are we awake?
Aisha. He said, Aisha. Wow. Imagine, who do you love the most?
The name of one of his wives, Aisha.
Subhanallah. Oh. Everyone knew their position. Everyone knew that Allah favored them in their own unique way. It does not mean He disliked the others. It does not mean that He didn't love them. This was talking about loving the most. You are loved. You are loved on a very, very high position. But if it is 99.8 that is yours, this one is 99.81. That's what it is. Do you get what I'm saying? So why be jealous of that 0.1? He was asked, okay, after that, who do you love? Who's next? Who do you think he said? Take a guess, subhanAllah. In fact, no need to guess, you probably would know. He says, her father. SubhanAllah, imagine you love your father-in-law. The second most in the whole wide world. Who do you love the most? Aisha. Who do you love next? Her father. Who was her father? Abu Bakr. As-Siddiq, he was the companion of the Prophet. He was amazing. But guess what? He knew his level. And the fact that he knew his level did not make him proud or arrogant, did not make him someone who thought big of himself. He remained as humble as ever. As humble as ever. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the Amir later on al-Mu'mineen, he used to go out at night looking for people who were in need. And he's the Amir. And he used to go and assist. There was a blind lady that he used to help later on. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went to help. And he found that Abu Bakr did much more than him. Much more than him. Quietly, no one knew. Did much more than him. SubhanAllah. I sit and I think to myself, people found out after their death what they used to do with us. Before they even find out, we tell them, here's my selfie. Look, I did this ibadah. I was in salah. Here goes. My sujood was actually so nice. SubhanAllah, here goes. I want to show the whole world. SubhanAllah. Where are your hidden deeds, O Ummah of victory? O Ummah of victory, victory is yours. If you understand that Allah has gifted you and there are certain things Allah will not give you no matter what. He knows what's better for you. He knows what He does not want to give you. That's it. So guess what? Don't become upset when Allah held back from giving you something because you are an Ummah of victory. You need to understand the one in charge is Allah. He made me in the first place. When I came onto the earth, even this that I have here, I did not have it at all. When I came onto the earth, I had nothing. So whatever I have right now is a bonus. I found it here. I'm using it. It's a bonus. We become upset because exactly what we wanted, we didn't get. For what? Why are you upset? So what? Move on to something else. People are sad because the food they wanted, they did not get it. Trust me, there are people on the globe, they didn't have any food or they don't have. And they are still thanking Allah, alhamdulillah. I started off by saying, alhamdulillah. We don't even realize what we are saying when we say, alhamdulillah. Someone says, how are you? The correct answer is, alhamdulillah. But do you really mean it? Do you really know what it means? You know, when people say, how's things? And you are really going through the toughest time ever. And you desperately want to say, it's not good at all. I'm going through the worst moments. The Ummah of victory responds with alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I am in pain. I can't even stand. Alhamdulillah. What did you just say? All praise is due to Allah. You know what that means? You are a human being. Me complaining to you won't solve my problem. Thank you. I will complain to the one who owns the solution of this problem. But not to you. SubhanAllah. So this is something that Allah Almighty has kept in this ummah. Don't lose hope. You will go through struggles because you are created on earth in order to go through challenge upon challenge. We say you are made in order to be tested. A test cannot be an easy thing. That's why those who don't believe that we were created to be tested, the funny thing or the sad thing is they themselves go through test upon test. They go through test upon test every single day. The disbelievers, the atheists, the agnostics, the people of other faiths, whoever else it may be, they go through challenge upon challenge every single day. One thing I will never ever forget. I entered a hospital one day and I walked to this person who was unwell, and he told me that there is this guy speaking to the sick people. And look, with all due respect to the Christians, this brother happened to be a Christian. And he was a pastor. And he came to this man who was unwell for a long, long time and told him that, do you know what? Look at what Muhammad did to you. Astaghfirullah. Look at what Muhammad did to you. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say you are sick because you are following Muhammad. What type of statement is that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do anything of that nature. The man worships Allah. He worships the Maker. He doesn't worship the Prophet. We revere the Prophet. We respect the Prophet. We follow the Prophet, but we do not worship him. There's a big difference between the two. So this man comes along to a Muslim who is sick and unwell and saying to him, look at what Muhammad did to you. How can you say that? How on earth can you say that? So he says, you know, is it true what he's saying? Now imagine he's telling me here. He's asking me, is it true what he's saying that I'm suffering because I'm a Muslim? I told him, brother, there are 25 Christians who are in a worse off position than you are in the same hospital. Do you want to go and see them and meet them? I will never ever say this is what Jesus did to you. I revere Jesus. I respect him. I honor him. In fact, I try my best to look like him. Yeah, we might think, oh wow, it's not me. I may know descriptions, but it's the Christians themselves who actually drew portraits and put up statues and so on, something which we don't believe we should do, but we have descriptions. Yes, he had a beard. Yes, he wore garments. He wore something long and so on, whatever it may be. Wallahi, when I walk out in the streets of my own country, some of the little youngsters who are, you know, on the street, they'll say, hey, Jesu. They say, this guy is Jesus, you know. That's what they don't do it with the Christian pastors. It's a fact of life. With all due respect, the only point I'm trying to raise is we revere Jesus so much that we try and emulate a lot of what the prophets have brought. The fact that we consider him a great, one of the five greatest prophets of Allah, and not a son or not a part of a holy trinity. The Muslims don't consider that. That doesn't mean we've disrespected him. In actual fact, we've honored him, because what's the point of considering him higher than that? But your life is led totally opposite to what he actually taught. What's the point? There's no point. I'd rather say, you know what? I'm trying my best to follow. So the point being raised, here is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jesus, peace be upon him. You cannot come and say you are sick because you are a follower of this and that, because Allah has kept something amazing on earth. You know what? Allah says, good. The good things I will give the believers and the disbelievers. And the tests, I will test the believers and the disbelievers. Not just one. I will test them all. So when you have something, it does not mean Allah is pleased with you. And when you don't have something, it does not mean Allah is displeased with you. It could be either or. It depends on your personal condition. So let me now explain that to you. Because we are an ummah of victory. For us, every situation is a win. Every situation is a win. You went through a challenge, you won. If it brought you closer to Allah. That's what it is. And you have the whole world at your fingertips. You have lost if it distanced you from Allah. Some people, when they have a problem, they go away from Allah. They go to the clubs. They want to start drinking. Why? I've asked some of the guys, why do you drink? He says, to forget my problems.
Oh, wow. For how many minutes, my brother?
Well, I can drink. I just drink maybe how many pints and then I forget my problem. And I at least I can go home and just say whatever and go and sleep. My brother, when you get up in the morning, you have a new problem. What is it? You don't have any money. Why? You drank it. It's a new problem. I'm telling you, if you have people who you know who have this issue that when they have a problem, now it's no longer about drinking. Those were days that were considered relatively clean by the others. But now it's about drugs and intoxicating yourself. You have a problem, they say, hey, come, I take you somewhere. You can forget all your problems, what you go into. Something that intoxicates you, the drugs and so on. That is a bigger problem than all of the problems you actually had. We tell our children, do whatever, don't ever you dare touch an intoxicant. That's what we say. Don't ever touch an intoxicant. You mess up your entire life. You don't know. So you can't come and say that when I don't have something, it means Allah does not love me. Or when I have something, Allah loves me. Oh, Allah loves them so much. Look at them. They've got everything. You don't know. If they're close to Allah, then He loves them. Let me tell you who Allah loves. Listen attentively. When Allah chooses His worshippers to get up in the morning to fulfill Salatul Fajr, that's the one He loves. Because Allah selects people. Did you hear what I said? This is a tough one. Ummah of victory do not sleep in the morning. They get up very early in the morning. We want victory. I want victory. You want victory in our lives, in our challenges, in whatever else it may be. Get up for Salatul Fajr. And do you want a bigger victory? Get up before Fajr and do Tahajjud. Allah chooses the people whom He wants to worship Him. Do you know why? He doesn't need to be worshipped. We need it. If the whole world did not worship Allah, it does not decrease His value even in a droplet. Not at all. And if the whole world worshipped Him, it does not increase His value at all. Allah's value is Allah's value. Whether you worship or you don't, or the whole world does or they don't, it has to do with you. Your value will increase when you obey the instruction of Allah. Say, oh Allah, I love you, so love me back. What is the sign of the love of Allah? The sign of the love of Allah, when He gives you the ability to do the right things, and when He gives you the strength to stay away from the wrong things, that's a sign of the love of Allah. When Allah gives you the power to stay away from the wrong things, something is in front of your eyes and it is displeasing to Allah and it is so doable, or I can get it so easily, and I look down and I walk away and I say, oh Allah, only for You, here I'm going. That's the love of Allah. That's the love of Allah. I walked away. It was easy. Or another sign of the love of Allah is if you fell into something that was displeasing to Allah because you're a human being and out of human nature, you did something that was displeasing to Allah, the quicker you repented, the greater the love of Allah for you. The quicker you turned away, meaning you turned away from that which was wrong and back to Allah, it's a sign of the love of Allah. It's a sign of the love. That's why ask Allah to bless you. Ask Allah to give you guidance, to strengthen you, to help you, and to accept your repentance and your returning. I'm a human being. So are you. We falter. We were not created perfect. Perfection is for paradise. We were not created perfect. My mind wanders sometimes. I'm a human. It will happen to all of us. We're not perfect. Out of human nature, I might say a thing that's wrong. I make mistakes, number one. Sometimes, it's not a mistake, but out of human nature, you intentionally did something, and you know what? It was not a nice thing. It was something that was displeasing to Allah. Yes, different people are on different levels. Some people major, some people minor. Either way, if you have fallen, turn back to Allah, and then don't turn to shaitan. When I say don't turn to shaitan, you know what I mean? When you turn to Allah and you say, oh Allah,
I engaged in this. It was wrong. It was a major sin. I admit it and I will not do it again. And I want you to forgive me. Once you say that, you're forgiven. If you were genuine in your heart, you're forgiven. And I said, don't turn back to shaitan, because shaitan comes to you again and he tells you, no. You can't just be forgiven as easily as that. You can't just be forgiven as easily as that. My brothers, my sisters, Islam is a religion based on the mercy of Allah. You want evidence? When you start the Quran, what do you say? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. If Allah wanted, He could have chosen any other names. When you start the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Subhanallah. Mercy, mercy, forgiveness, kindness. Allah is magnificent. Allah is unique. Allah is most loving. Allah is most kind. Allah is most compassionate. All of that we hear. Much more than anything else, religion is based on the mercy of Allah. Yes, the punishment of Allah is the truth. But did you seek forgiveness? If the answer is yes, don't worry. Allah won't punish you. Allah is not a liar. Allah says, those who repented, I don't punish them. They are as good as those who didn't sin at all. It's okay. It's okay. Allah says, as a human being, if you have faltered, we taught you what to do when Adam faltered. Who is Adam? The first of our species. When him and Hawa or Eve, when they did something wrong, what did they say? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Oh our Rabb, oh our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves, we did wrong to ourselves. If you don't have mercy on us, and if you don't forgive us, we will be at a loss. Allah says, I've forgiven you. And I have mercy on you. Done. It's over. So don't let shaitan make you think that you are not forgiven after you have repented and asked Allah to forgive you. Don't. Because then you cannot be victorious. You have to gain the victory over the devil and over shaitan. Firstly, by staying away from that which is displeasing to Allah. And then if you have still fallen and he managed to trap you, immediately you gain victory over him by repenting. And once you've repented, he will come back to you and tell you that, you know what? Your repentance is not acceptable. When he does that, you gain victory over him again by saying, I know my Lord is merciful. I know my Lord is merciful. I want to ask you a little question. When you say, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Are we not taught to repeat it many times? So many times a day. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek forgiveness many times a day. 70 times. Sometimes it is said up to 100 times a day. Can I say something to you? Do you know the reason why we repeat seeking forgiveness? Is it because we are doubting the mercy of Allah? Is it because we are doubting the mercy of Allah? No. Definitely not. It is because we want the status that we have and the connection with Allah to be stronger and the status to be elevated. That's what it is. When you say, oh Allah, forgive me. Imagine for a moment I did something wrong to you, right? I did something wrong to you. And I'm so embarrassed about it that whenever I see you, I just remember that thing. And I say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. You say, nah, it's okay. Done, forgiven. When I see you again, I say, hey, brother, I still think that what I did to you was so bad. I said, don't worry, it's okay, man. It's over. Right? Why did I repeat it? Because I thought of it and I said, no, the man forgave me, but you know what? Let me say it again. And then when I see you after 2 years, hey, what's up, my man? Hey, I still feel it in my heart. You know what I did to you was like this. To be honest with you, it's got nothing to do with me doubting the forgiveness. It's got to do with the fact I'm embarrassed, number one. Number two is, it will solidify the connection, and when you have a connection with Allah, you have nothing to worry about. My brothers, my sisters, the challenges that you face in life, they are part of Allah's plan. He throws these curveballs at you in order to see how you react. Do you react with Alhamdulillah? Do you react by saying it could have been worse? Your leg broke. thank Allah, the other leg is not broken. But who is going to do that? You need to have faith. A brother made a major car accident. He came out and said, you know what? My car is a write-off. My car is written off. Look at this. Look at what happened. I lost so much of money. I said, brother, thank Allah. Say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know what? Your car is gone. Look at you. You came out without a scratch, man. Have you thought of that? No scratches. But because your car is gone and you didn't go, you didn't think about you not going. You thought about your car. But had you had a problem, your car was irrelevant. You say, oh Allah, you took away my leg. Forget about the car. My leg is gone. Right? Look at the categories of loss that we go through, but we don't realize it could have been worse. So a believer is taught every single time something happens to you negative, you must say it could have been worse. That's when you will thank Allah. It could have been worse. You missed a flight. Let me give you a true story. Ethiopian Airlines, some time back, the plane crashed. When the plane crashed, guess what? Go and read. It's online. A few of the guys, do you know, I was at the airport at the time. I was at the airport in Addis Ababa at the time it happened. And the flight that actually crashed took off just before us. We saw it going. I even met people and have photos with them who were on that flight. And there was a brother who came running to the gate when they just closed it. How's that? And he, in a fit of rage and anger, no, I made it. I'm here. You need to open. No one knew what's going to come. No one knew what's going to come. Did you know? My man, take it in your stride. Take it in your stride. Say, Alhamdulillah, I missed this flight. And walk away. It's going to be inconvenient. You're going to have to pay to change. You're going to have to. But just say, Alhamdulillah, you've got the money to change it. Don't worry. The world can wait. You can wait another day. Big deal. Big deal. It's okay. Say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. When the plane crashed, you know how many Alhamdulillahs came out of that brother's mouth? Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. What happened? How can you say Alhamdulillah, the plane? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know what? I missed my flight, man. And now there's a big story about it. But the temper that the man showed at the gate, who knows about that? Who knows about that? Don't need to get angry. That's why one day, when I was actually not able to board a flight for one reason, you know, during Corona and up to very recently, they check every single little document. And sometimes if one thing is missing, something, they're unsure, you are waiting and you are sitting on the side and trying to clear things and whatever. And in the process, the flight might go. It happened to me in Kenya. And I was so calm. I just said, Alhamdulillah. I called someone who I knew and they tried to assist, but unfortunately they couldn't. And then I just said, Alhamdulillah, no problem. It's okay. I'll catch the next flight. I walked out and you know what? Later on, the lady who didn't allow me to board, I actually made friends with her, meaning I told her, it's okay, whatever. And when I was catching my next flight on a different airline altogether, which costed money and whatever it was, wow, they were all smiles and everything. But you inconvenienced me big time, but it's okay. Perhaps I might, maybe. Do you know how I consoled myself? Can I tell you? I told myself, Allah doesn't want me to go on that plane because maybe I might end up sitting next to a person who has the virus and get the virus. So if Allah's telling you, just don't go. I said, Alhamdulillah, you are my Lord. I love you. I'm not going to compete with you. If you don't want me to go, I'm not going. Here goes. I'm going back. Yeah, here it is. There we are. What's the big deal? You are my Lord. You will look after me. Sometimes we desperately want to marry someone. It doesn't happen. It does. It's okay. It's not the only person on earth. There are another billion or more suitable candidates. Whoa, we become so fussy. You know, long time ago, it was easier to get married than now. Do you agree? Do you know why? Because now you know more people. That's the problem. Yes. And now social media has created a bigger problem because the standards are higher than the people who you think are the ones in those standards. As silly as that might sound. Because what you saw and you're competing, I need a husband like this. that person himself doesn't exist because it's all photoshopped. It's a reality. I'm not joking. You say, but look, you know, I need someone with blemishless skin like my sister. That skin doesn't exist. It doesn't. And by the way, to get married, you don't just look at skin, by the way. Deen and akhlaq, there we go. And yes, you look at them, they should look reasonably attractive to you. Because everyone's level of attraction is different. But I tell you something, people become depressed. Why? Because, you know, I tried. My parents have blocked it. This one has blocked it. That one's blocked it. Whoever else has blocked it. It's not working. That one's happened. Try again. Try a few times and then close the door and goodbye. Walk away. Move. Allah saved you from something. What? I don't know. Subhanallah. Allah did not give you something. Maybe you don't have children. May Allah bless those who don't have children with children. Say Ameen. Maybe you don't have children. Allah knows why. So surrender to it. Try. Keep on trying. Make dua. Each time you make dua, you will be rewarded for it. But in Allah's knowledge, He already knows. Listen, I'm not going to give it to you because I know something you don't know about the future. One day, come and ask me and I'll tell you. That's what Allah would do for you. Those of us who've lost loved ones, sometimes, you know, when you lose generations, the older ones, it's a little bit easier because that's, you know, grandpa goes first and then dad goes and then I go and then my child goes and then grandchild goes. That's the general order that the world thinks is supposed to be normal. But in Allah's plan, that's not the order. There's no order. Anyone can go at any time. So when you lose your child, it's one of the most difficult things you can ever have. But understand, go and read Suratul Kahf. Allah says, we took away those children because had they grown older, they would have been transgressive in such a way that they would have been a source of distress for their own parents. How many of us know of parents who have children who are heavily on drugs and so criminal in their activity that the parents say, I wish I did not have this child. So Allah says, but you cried to have children. Now what? When I didn't give you the children, then you were unhappy. When I gave you the children, you are unhappy. And now you are still unhappy. When I took the child away early, you are unhappy. And if I left the child longer, you would still be unhappy. Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just say Alhamdulillah on the conditions that Allah has kept you. Allah knows. I don't know. Maybe it's possible. It could have happened. One day, talk to Allah and ask Him. You will when you meet Him. But that is the thing. My brothers, my sisters, we have tough days ahead of us. The days are not getting any easier. We're living in an age of social media. And guess what? As much as medicine has progressed, the number of people who are depressed and sad and the number of people who are struggling with their mental health has increased. One wonders what's going on. And it's our duty to be compassionate towards them, to try and understand, to try and empower, to try and encourage, to try and show as much love and understanding as we can. But it is not wrong to question why it's happening. What's going on? Perhaps we are utilizing the technology that Allah's given us in a wrong way. And we're not understanding what's going on. How will the ummah and how will we achieve victory when we haven't even done what Allah wants us to do? That's why Allah says, don't weaken yourself. Don't become despondent. And don't become sad when something happens to you. Don't become despondent and don't become sad. Don't be saddened. For indeed you will be the successful or the higher or the victor if you are true believers. That if you are true believers is the most important part of the verse. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That's the verse. I just translated it before I read it. If you are true believers, then there's no point to be saddened. There's no point to be despondent. Don't be despondent. Don't lose hope and don't become sad. You will be successful. Ultimately, victory is yours. Not today, but tomorrow. if not tomorrow, the next day. If not in this world, then the next. But you have to be a believer. That's what it is. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are true believers, then you will be victorious. But if you're not a believer, or you couldn't bother about what Allah has said, then come on, what do you expect? And that's why I said earlier in my speech, when something happens to you, no matter what it is, if it drew you closer to Allah, it is a gift of Allah. It's a favor of Allah. And when something drew you or distanced you from Allah, no matter how nice it seemed, it was actually a negative thing. So therefore, my brothers, my sisters, learn to take things in your stride. As things happen in your life, we look at it with the eye of the Quran. What that means is, you look at it the way you are taught by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he lost his children one after the other, guess what? He was sad. He even cried tears. It's normal. I'm a human, I'll cry. Crying is not a bad thing. It's the way humans were created to process certain emotional conditions. It's normal to cry sometimes. It's okay. But you will not utter that which is displeasing to Allah. And you will ask Allah to make it easy for him. Oh Allah, you tested me with a massive one. Make it easy for me. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. Help me. Give me the sabr. Oh Allah, give me the sabr. Call out to Allah. Make dua to him. Supplicate. Ask him. He will give you. He will give you. And don't for a moment turn towards the devil and make him, make you think things. Oh, you know, Allah Almighty is upset with me. He's angry with me. Perhaps this happened because of that. All that you don't worry about. You have to worry about whether you are doing what you're supposed to do or not. You know, I want to speak about something very interesting before I end. Sometimes we struggle and we suffer with doubts. With doubts. And Allah tells us, do not doubt. Allah tells us, do not doubt. We struggle and we suffer with doubt. For whatever weakness there may be within us, sometimes doubt. Let me give you an example of a person who is perhaps doing wudu. Wudu is the washing before you pray, or even in the prayer. Let's talk, instead of wudu, let's talk about the prayer, okay? So I started Allahu Akbar and I'm praying. And I know I'm supposed to make 4 units for dhuhr, right or wrong? 4 units, okay? The farad. I make one and I'm trying to get up and I think, hey, how many did I do? Did I do 2 or 1? Okay. Does it happen? Look, everyone said yes. Anyone saying no here? Okay. So sometimes you do 3 and then you think to yourself, did I do 2 or 3? Did I do, right? I can't remember, 2 or 3, you know? What did I do? And sometimes you finish your salah, the 4 are done, but you're still thinking, am I on the 3rd one or am I on the 4th one? Right? It happens to all of us, including myself. Including the imams in the big, big masjids on earth. It happens to them also. So people say, oh, you know what? I don't know. What to, can I tell you something? Throw your doubt. The hadith speaks about it, so that means it happened to the sahaba as well. Oh, here goes. The hadith says, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَمْ يَدْرِي أَوَاحِدَةً صَلَّى أَمْ إِثْنَتَيْنِ. It's saying when any one of you prays and you don't remember whether you made 1 or 2, then this is what you should do. Oh, that means it happened already to people before me who were better than me. Don't become depressed and despondent. What do you do? Initially, the teaching is you build on the smaller number and you do sujood sahw. You build on that which you are certain it was. But when it becomes a disease and it's happening to you in every prayer, then you deal with it differently. You don't entertain the doubt. You complete your salah and you leave it unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are taught to do something known as sujood sahw. You know what is sujood sahw? Sujood sahw means if I've made a mistake and an error, I will compensate by fulfilling extra prostrations for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, there is a method you will have to learn about it. I'm sure most of us would know, but those who don't know, you have to learn about what is that prostration just to rectify an error that happened in prayer. But the point I'm raising is don't allow your doubts to consume you. Allah will accept your wudu even if you've made a small blunder in it. Obviously, I'm not talking of major things, but you made a little mistake you can't remember. It's okay. If Allah considers tayammum, which is cleaning yourself with dust, as cleansing yourself, then what do you think He will do with water? I made a little blunder, not intentionally, but because of weakness of my mind. Because of the weakness of my mind, I made a small blunder with my wudu that I really don't know, but I'm trying to investigate. Don't allow it to consume your mind. You don't need to investigate beyond the point. You tried your best, you did your wudu, now go and fulfill your prayer. If there was a small blunder in here, it's okay, Allah will accept it as is, because most of us would probably have made blunders that we don't even know about. Allah says, don't worry, I don't need this wudu of yours, you need it. Do you get the point? Do it correctly, yes. Once you believe that I did it correctly, then keep going, keep moving. Don't go back and start investigating things, because it's going to consume you and your entire life. The same applies to your tawbah, the same applies to everything else. And you know what? May Allah help us and grant us the ability to meet again and again. And may Allah help us to meet good people. And may Allah help us to learn from one another. And may Allah help us to care for one another. Remember, if you would like to be victorious, ultimately, you need to help others as well. In the process, you need to help others. Helping others means, if I want victory, I need to make sure that I'm not a selfish person. It's a flight I'm supposed to catch. It's landing now, Chan. I need to make sure I help others, because victory comes to those who care for others, those who reach out to others. The help of Allah comes to those who are helping others. It's a hadith. It's part of what the Prophet ﷺ has said. Victory comes to those who help others. Allah will help you when you are helping others. So keep helping others and Allah will grant you strength. And ultimately, worship Allah. Worship Him alone. Thank Him. Praise Him upon all conditions. Good comes, we praise Allah. Something that's not so good comes, we always continue to praise Allah. فَالْحَمْدُ awwalan wa akhirah. May Allah Almighty guide us and help us, and all praise definitely belongs to Him from the beginning to the end, before the beginning and even after the end. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
تَقْدِيرٌ.